Nowadays we are passing through the winter season, the winter climate, and cough and flu and sore throats are quite common. People are suffering from this, so we need to be careful of one thing, that when a person sits in a majlis, especially in the gathering of dhikr, especially when a person sits in the majlis of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr, or dhikr is taking place, or there's a bayan that's happening, a speech, then this is my request and myself to myself, that if you've got a cough or a cold, try your best to control it, suppress it. And if it's difficult to do that, then just leave the exit, the gathering. And the cough or the sneeze, if it suddenly comes, then try to suppress it or say it lightly, do it lightly. This goes internationally, and you'll be quite surprised that from quite far away, the complaint comes that we can't understand the dhikr, we can't hear, people are coughing, and various unique messages have been delivered that the brothers who are suffering from this, they should take the cough syrup with them and sit with the cough syrup in the bottle with them. So this is a spiritual gathering, and if we're doing dhikr and you start coughing loudly and I'm speaking, and whilst the discussion is taking place, people get disturbed. Yeah? Is there anyone in this situation who's experienced this? So obviously, I also have a cough and a flu sometimes, and I suffer from this, and maybe I do this more than you, and I'm included in this. So we should all try, and especially me more, because the mic is close to me, because this mic is very sensitive, that from far, if somebody's coughing or sneezing, the voice comes to the mic. So try to take the medicine before you come, or sit at the back, and soon as the cough or the sneeze comes, then exit from the side, so the others are not disturbed during dhikr or not distressed. And if it suddenly comes, then try to do it lightly to suppress it.
Allah Pak, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has in the Qur'an Hakim introduced everything, explained everything to us. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the angels and the prophets alayhimus salam, and the salihin and the good people, the pious people. But the head character of this dunya, with regards to him, how can it be that Allah Ta'ala has not introduced or defined him, the main character? So Allah Ta'ala has introduced him and everybody is aware of his name. Allah Ta'ala has explained about shaitan, because everything started from there. If he didn't commit the error, we would be sat in Jannah now, we would have been doing dhikr, but sat in Jannah, in paradise. So this thing that he done, the action that he committed, he's the head figure, isn't it? The main character, you could say. So it's obvious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has also explained about shaitan, introduced shaitan to us. And where shaitan has been introduced or mentioned to explain to us, then at that point a word has been mentioned. Allah Ta'ala says adu, enemy. Allah Ta'ala is explaining in the introduction, when Allah Ta'ala mentions shaitan, that he came, the prophet came, and Nuh alayhi salam came, and Isa alayhi salam came, and as Ibrahim alayhi salam came, as Ismail alayhi salam came, and everybody's introduced and mentioned, and who had an issue with these people, and there was a quarrel or a dispute, or the things that the prophets gave to us, how they fulfilled their mission. Every Nabi has been introduced, isn't it? Or explained his account and story. And here Allah Ta'ala has given the story of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala introduces shaitan, and Allah has used the word adu, enemy. What a way of introducing or presenting shaitan and his concept. Now Allah Ta'ala hasn't just said that he's the enemy, adu. Rather Allah Ta'ala said aduhum mubeen. He is the azeem enemy. He is a great enemy, the avowed enemy, a big enemy, a solid enemy. And there's no doubt about this. He's a very big enemy of mankind. Now tell me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he is giving the warning to us. So we should always be alert to that enemy, shaitan, isn't it? If you realize there's an enemy lying in wait or wanting to pounce on you, trying to commit some sort of injustice to you or harm to you, then you're going to be cautious of that enemy, isn't it? And Allah Ta'ala said that shaitan, the devil, is the avowed enemy. For example, a person's praying salah, and he starts his work, and he starts to try to influence a person negatively, and he takes him off track, and he turns his face from salah and takes him to another pastime or activity.
A person has a niyyah intention to do something good, he changes the intention of that person, influences that person. He gives the negative influence. And these are wasawis, whispering of shaitan in the world. Who is doing this? This is shaitan. Qibla shaitan is sitting, he sat on his throne. His throne is there, and he's doing all of these things. The hair inside, in the corner, outside, and the skies on the roofs, even in the skies, the planes that fly. And Allah Ta'ala said there's no place in the world, in the oceans, the seas, in the heavens, in the skies. And wherever we go, the enemy is with us. Wherever we go, the more we try to go up and up and up, we think we're advanced and progress, we go up into the sky. He goes up as well. He flies up. We try to save ourselves from shaitan, and he brings out another technology to plan his way through. To this extent that he has achieved a lot now, that he's given a little small thing that, here, have a look in this. This is technology. Have a look on the screen. And lots of people, their minds, muttaqis, people who are fearful, mashallah, steadfast people who are pious. And this little box of a screen, what's happened to them? They have just lost out to shaitan in that clash. And such events that arise, such things that occur, that the earth starts to tremble. And I hear this every day, people, poor people come to me and say, and it's shocking that Allah, that's it, Allah, you can protect, Allah, protect me, Allah. Because what is it that affects a person so much and takes him towards sin? How does a person get motivated? You're sat, for example, in the darkness, you've got a phone. Okay, let me use the phone to ring someone. You ring somebody and then your fingers start playing. And the fingers play and then they start playing. It's the fingers first. You used to dial the number with the sort of handset, but now it's just the fingertip. And the fingertip starts waving around on the screen and the game starts. And the playing starts. And he's just prayed salah. He's come from salah. He's come from tabligh jamaat. Or he's gone to dhikr gathering. Or he's just recited Quran. And those people are getting affected by this. Those people. So this is the game of shaitan. Yeah, so shaitan, he affects a person who's totally fine, he's pious, he's doing good deeds, and then he starts again. So what do we stop? What can we stop? What do we do to stop shaitan and his influence on us, negative? That he is fulfilling his duty and his promise, and he is very, you can say, steadfastly fulfilling his promise. But Allah Ta'ala said that he is adu. He's not just adu, aduun mubeen. And this is what he uses as his assistance. Remember this point, and I will go towards this point today to explain. That don't just think that he's adu. Don't just think that he is a big enmity and he is trying to oppose us and he's taken us off track or made us do bad actions or he's made us do impure actions. This is not the enmity of shaitan with us. He goes beyond that. His planning is beyond that. What is that? Think about it. That if Allah Ta'ala has introduced our enemy to us, and if we don't know what he's like, his qualities and his skill or his techniques, then how will we save ourselves from him? We read the Quran. I don't know how we read the Quran. We just count the pages. I think reality, the Quran is such a kitab. There's nothing hidden in the Quran. Nothing at all is hidden. Every single verse, whichever verse you take, you put your finger over that verse or look at it while you're walking, and all of the subject that I'm presenting to you today, if we pay attention totally, I just looked at the verse of Quran in passing. In passing, I looked at the verse of Quran and look at the beauty of the Quran, that when I looked at it, I paid attention and thought, what's this verse of the Quran saying? Oh, let's discuss with the brothers on this subject, and that's what I'm discussing with you. I haven't done anything else. Just as in passing, I was walking or looking. Maybe it's going to come out of my mind. Then I'll ask you again about that verse. And this is the kamal, the fadl and karam of Allah. That however long is that verse. But when you have the niyyah, you want to speak about it. Then I remember that verse. And I've done, like, I memorized that verse. Subhanallah. Tell me, how do I remember the verse so quickly? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, khas, special on this ummah, in this day and age, that Allah has given the message. The message should reach to people. The message should be delivered to people. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The people who want to be saved, they are saved. The women, the brothers, they are saved. If they want to be saved, they save themselves. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Allah ta'ala's rahmah is still here. Allah's mercy is still here. It's available for us. But one thing we have to do, one thing. That we need to not consider ourselves as perfect. Just let me explain this to you. Don't consider that I'm fine, I'm okay, I can't be affected, I pray salah, I am not going to sin, I don't commit wrong actions, oh, my maslak is right, I'm on the right deen, I'm following the right path, and I say ameen loudly and everyone else is foolish. Don't think like this. Don't think like this. This is defective. This is, you can say, like worshipping oneself. Saying Ameen quietly or loudly doesn't make any difference. You can say it so loudly that the roof cracks, the ceiling cracks. No problem. Fine. But there's no difference in the deen. The point that we need to concentrate on is that the insan, the human being, always in every moment should consider himself as the sinner, as the criminal, as a bad person. Doesn't matter if you're doing good actions, pious actions, always consider yourself as the sinner. I'm going to be presented in the court of Allah, and I need to make Allah Ta'ala my friend and close to me. How will I present myself to Allah? How will I show him my face? How will I speak to Allah? How will I be presented to Allah? How will Allah ask me the questions? How will I answer the questions? I know what I am. I'm the worst. What does the Quran say? The Quran says this, and I have to think deeply about the message of the Quran that is given to me. And we just think that enmity, or someone's committed a sin, or he's done this, or this person and said this, or he did something wrong. No, we shouldn't create relationships like this. And there's nothing to be ashamed of that Allah Ta'ala says that people, even the greatest or most pious people, they commit a sin. Even the place in the madrasa, maybe in the khanqa where Bukhari is studied, or I saw it with my eyes in the masjids, people can commit sins after praying salah. They've just finished salah. Yani, why? This sharam, this shame is present. So what is this point? Shaytan. He makes us feel and believe that we are not wrong, we are fine, totally perfect. And this is an error. And there's a bigger sin than this. Okay, in the nature of man, he does have sin. Sin is present in all of our lives. No problem. So that's why we have to consider ourselves as criminals, as sinners, as wrongdoers. But the worst sin a person can, the shaytan that he does is adu mubin, and we need to look towards that. Towards that. That's what we need to concentrate on. And what is that? What is his method? What is his game? His trick? The enmity of shaitan with mankind is that what he does not let mankind come towards tawbah, repentance. What does he do? He doesn't let man do tawbah, repentance. He doesn't want anyone, brother, sister, man, woman, human being, to ask Allah for repentance, for forgiveness. Because this is the massive, massive action. Because if there was no tawbah, then imagine our consequence. What would be happening? Allah Ta'ala says, no tawbah. Direct the people who are sinning. They will be given punishment. Direct in Jahannam, and I will purify you there, not here on the earth. And Allah is the controller. He's the owner. He could say this, just like Allah Ta'ala said for one nation, that you have to beat each other. And you have to kill each other, like in the olden days, the previous nations, and they had this punishment, that you have to do, this is your punishment. So Allah could say this today to this ummah, that you have committed a sin, okay, so all of the punishments will be in Jahannam, hellfire, and when you're purified from there, only then will you go to paradise. But Allah Ta'ala didn't say this. He's given us tawbah, the great, great ni'mah, such a massive gift and treasure and reward for mankind. We cannot imagine what reward Allah has given to mankind. We cannot imagine. Remember this. Why? Because the Quran, it tells us this. It explains. So this is the true essence of the work of shaitan. Okay, he will influence us, whisper us to make a sin, commit a sin. But even if you do it, don't worry. So I've got a tool at my disposal. What is that? Tawbah. Repentance. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says about, Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ بِالسُّوءِ Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala explains here that the Quran speaks and Allah gives the guidance that look here. If a person commits a sin, a big sin, small sin, su, dhulam, two words are in this verse. Su, Allah Ta'ala says, ulama, the scholars have said about this with regards to this word su in this verse, that such a sin, that sin through which others are given pain, which gives problems to other people. If I commit a sin, that won't give me a problem, but what will it do? It will give a problem or difficulty to somebody else. For example, you're sitting down and I'm speaking about you. Who does that give pain to me? No, it gives pain to the other person. So it's a sin, isn't it? So such an action, such a harkat, such a implementation of a deed that I give pain and problem and trouble to somebody else, but not to myself, and I'm enjoying it, this is a sin. If we start looking at this, analyzing this, we'll see it everywhere. Actions that we commit, that doesn't affect us, but affects other people. And you're saying things, doing things. For example, you create a fight between husband and wife, you create a divorce situation, you create enmity between two people, you make friends become enemies, and backbiting, gossip mongering, slandering, you create troubles and arguments in homes, in families, between friends, between relatives, between husband and wife. So what is this sin? This is a sin where a person implements an action, he says something, he does something, he doesn't cause himself any harm, but harms other people. So this is su. Allah Ta'ala says that a person who does an action, and then Allah Ta'ala says further,
that the person who does dhulam on himself, that he's destroying himself, that there are many sins that a person does where he's affecting his own ruh, his own soul, and here he's destroying himself due to that sin. So he's not affecting someone else, he's destroying himself. So they're both sins, aren't they? Either a person will destroy himself, or he'll give pain to other people and he'll be happy. But here, both Allah Ta'ala has explained them as sins. Allah Ta'ala explained this clearly. That either is su, where you're affecting other people, or is dhulam on your own self, you're oppressing yourself. And the other one here is, that if you've done the sin, if you've committed the sin, and after sinning, you somehow, in the eyes of people, you are saved. You're not exposed. And they say, no, this is fine. You've got no proof. And the other one says, yes, there's no proof. Okay, leave him. He's free. And this happens today, isn't it? And maybe they don't have the proof and they cannot explain. And he's happy. Ah, I've just affected somebody. And nobody's got any proof. They couldn't prove that I was wrong. And mashallah, I've got the proof. And I know I am this. I've done this. Like today, there's a big court case of the Prime Minister. And he's been caught. He's a thief. And it's apparent, everything, but because the person, for example, somebody's bringing a letter and is bringing proof, and the judge is saying, bring the proof, and he's saved. And then he'll be there, I'm saved, and the judge has said, I'm forgiven, I'm released, but there's a bigger court than this. Allah Ta'ala's court is there, it's present. So we have to see here that this is a unique style today. This is the third style of sinning. One is affecting other people. Secondly, is affecting yourself. And then thirdly, when you sin and there's no proof and you're free in the world to roam around and nobody can catch you or grab you, and the person openly says, ah, look at me, and I've sinned, I've done this and that, and no one can say nothing to me. I'm not accountable. I didn't say this. I didn't do this. So I don't need to do this. I didn't sell this. And the person sold it. And he's been caught. And then there's no proof. And then the person's released. So here, we're satisfied. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the Quran says clearly, that that person, what will be his situation? That he's sinning. The sin is there. And here it said that he's forgiven in the world. But in the court of Allah, he will not be forgiven. The sin is present. For example, you've pestered somebody. Or you've done dhulam with yourself. Or you have done an act of injustice. An act of injustice. And the person still is released, is free. But he's taken somebody's money, or he's consumed somebody's assets, or he suppressed somebody's wealth, or he's oppressed the person, and amongst the people of the world, he's free. He's not been proven. But Allah Ta'ala says, insan, you have done the sin, but you are still here roaming free on the world. So this is the example of sin, and let's take here the example. The sin always is the sin. Sin is such an action that shaitan, he gives his seal of approval on the action of sin. Because he's in charge of the sins. He puts his seal of approval. And then that sin remains as a blot. And shaitan, what does he do? He makes that person worship at the same time, in parallel. The sinner, he makes him worship. And he puts like cotton wool over the eyes of that person. So that that person doesn't feel he's sinning. And other people don't think it's in his appearance. His attire will look good. His worship will look pure and clean. And he will deceive that person that you've just done Umrah. You've prayed Salah. You're going on Umrah again. Or you've done a good action. And inside he will make that person feel that you're totally fine. But Allah Ta'ala has a law. Allah Ta'ala has a principle. And I'll give you a small example. That you have this cloth. My cloth on my body. And on this cloth there's a stain. A stain comes, okay, on this cloth. Now, as long as I don't wash, if I don't insert this cloth into the washing machine and clean it, then there will be no benefit. But if I put the clothes in the washing machine and clean it, then they will get washed, but maybe the stain will come out, the stain. So in the same way, a person can do as many good deeds as he wants. But if that stain, if he doesn't know the method of what sort of lotion or washing powder will work on it, so I can put the clothes in the washing machine, just water, and nothing will get washed, the stain will stay. But for example, if a person, he's going out in the dunya and his clothes get dirty, and then he's advised that, for example, you go to the workshop, there's grease, and somebody will say, no, you put this on, and straight away the dirt will get removed. And you keep on putting in the washing machine, and then eventually the stain gets removed. So you're washing, and eventually the stain removes. So we're praying Salah, and the stain is still there. We're praying Salah, the stain is still there, because we're not using the right powder or the right detergent or the right lotion or the right whatever we need, the soap. So in the same way you need specific soap or detergent to clean off specific stains, in the same way a person who sinned, Allah says all of them sins, small or big or hidden or exposed, every sin can only be washed with one detergent, and that is Tawbah. Repentance. Tawbah, if we do Tawbah and we repent, then Allah says all of the stains will come out. Because Allah Ta'ala says that Do you understand now? ثُمَّ Allah says, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ And as soon as the person after sinning has the acceptance or the feeling and accepts that he has committed the sin, Allah Ta'ala says, Shaytan has taken us and his mission is that no way do I want this person to do tawbah, to ask Allah for forgiveness. That this person hasn't done tawbah, he hasn't done tawbah and his sins will go nowhere. And we read Quran, Shaytan knows about the Quran, he's a scholar, he's read the Quran better than us. Rather the Quran is ours, but he knows more than us. That وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ Allah said this in the Quran, that ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ يَجِدِ اللَّهِ What is Allah saying? غَفُورَ الرَّحِيمَ So the verse, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا Allah says, yet he who does evil or otherwise sins against himself and thereafter prays Allah to forgive him. Allah says, whether it's your sin on yourself or with somebody else or you're hiding it. Allah says, but when you will do tawbah, you will find Allah much forgiving, a dispenser of grace. Because Allah is غَفُور. Al-Ghafoor al-Rahim. Suddenly, immediately Allah will clean the sins. But Shaytan will make us pray and do other actions. But the sins are there and we still don't do tawbah. We still don't do tawbah. What a big point here, my friends. So we need to understand the enmity of Shaytan. The first thing that we need to do always, morning, evening, day, night, always we have to do is we have to weigh, analyze, accept our sins, weigh them, assess them, and do tawbah to Allah on every sin. Allah, I've done this sin. Allah forgive me. Allah, this wazifa, this for example, I shouldn't be doing this. Allah forgive me for this. That we are playing with ourselves and the sins, if we don't do tawbah, then we're playing with our body and every sin will have its consequence. We have to take the sins we've committed and practice that Allah did this sin and due to me I gave pain to somebody else or hurt. I need to assess this. I need to think about this. I've done dhulm on myself, Allah. For 1 hour, an hour ago, I did this action. And my appearance is good, my attire, no problem. But I committed this action, Allah. I sinned, tawbah. Oh Allah, I said this about somebody, tawbah. Allah Ta'ala says clearly, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ Allah says, whoever asks Allah for forgiveness, يَجِدِ اللَّهَ Immediately Allah will forgive that person. غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا And Allah will give His grace and blessings. So we are running after ibadat, worship, always every second, hour, minute, think what sin have I committed with my eyes, with my hands, with my tongue, with my feet, have I sinned in the night time, even during the night time, the last time of the day, astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. In the morning when you wake up, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. After praying salah, what do we say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Look, a prayer, ibadah, worship. What do we say to Allah after we pray? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. An empty astaghfirullah will not be beneficial. We say, Allah ghafur rahim, Allah ghafur rahim. Allah says, I know what astaghfirullah you've done. Are you sincere? Not just verbally. This is not the tariqah. Tariqah is that bring that sin in front of you first. I say, I do astaghfirullah 100 times. No. First bring the sins one by one. Line them up. Look at them. Assess them. Accept them. And then say one by one, Allah, this is this sin. Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. Allah, forgive me for this sin. Then the next sin. Allah, I've done this sin. Allah, accept it. Allah, forgive me for this sin. This is astaghfirullah. This is astaghfirullah. But, this is not easy, my friends. This is not easy, let me tell you this. That this, the person who's done this, mashallah, he goes into the group of the awliyaullah, the walis of Allah. This is where that person goes. We need to work on this. What does Allah Ta'ala call this? وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَدِيَهُمْ سُبَلَنَا Subhanallah, these are the words, subhanallah, in reality. That this is such a tussle with shaitan, that he pulls and you have to drag yourself away from him. Mustaqil, continually we are fighting with shaitan. We are tussling with shaitan. We are clashing with shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala says, the one who is victorious in the fight with shaitan, the person who is victorious in the tussle with the shaitan, for example, if you are fighting with somebody, quarreling with somebody, so the person who is victorious in the fight with shaitan, how? That he does tawbah to become victorious. Then Allah Ta'ala says, all of the paths of ma'rifah and my nearness will be open for you. Without tawbah, you cannot get my ma'rifah. Without tawbah, you cannot. So what is the tawbah? Tawbah, we have to do it. The same way, for example, we apply the detergent, the soap to the stained clothes and the stains are removed. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, Tawbah will remove the sign of the sin from our name, from our body, from our life. Shaitan, and for example, will make you commit a sin. You'll practice a sin. No problem. This is the enmity of shaitan. But his real enmity with us is that he does not want us to do tawbah. And I will say, Shaitan, how can you stop me from repentance? You can't stop me from going to Allah for forgiveness. Watch me, and I'm going to ask Allah for forgiveness. I've done zina with my eyes, or with my tongue, or I've done zina somehow, practically, physically. Oh, I've done a bad action, I've done bad, I've done dhulm, I've oppressed people. I've said bad. And when you listen to the du'as of the walis of Allah, you will tremble. Have you listened to the du'a of Hazrat Ghawth Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi? And we think that we've done the best du'as and we're pious. Look, Hazrat Ghawth Pak, Ghawth Al-Azam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi. And he's speaking to Allah, doing du'a. Allah, I'm a criminal, I'm zaleel, I'm wretched, I am sick, I'm ill, I'm the worst, I'm ashamed, I'm drowned in the sins, in the ocean of sins. And these are the words. And this was not a drama. He was sincere. He was speaking to himself, accepting and lowering himself. Oh my Rabb, he said, oh my Lord, I am the worst. I am drowned in the sins. I am the worst sinner from the time I was born till now. Every atom of my molecule cell is attached to the sin. I'm following Shaitan. Allah, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Allah, give me your shifa. Give me the cure. And give me from your ocean of cure. Allow me to drink one sip from your ocean of shifa and forgiveness. And this is Hazrat Ghaus al-Azam rahmatullahi, whose maqam me, you, everybody knows. And he's saying the truth to himself here. He's speaking sincerely. Brothers, this is humanity. This is servanthood. And this is ibadah. This is worship. This action of crying out, lining up the sins, accepting them, remorse, regret, accepting, asking forgiveness is the biggest ibadah. That worship. Allah Ta'ala says, after sinning, a person accepts and he's doing bringing nur into his life. Look, we all commit sins. Hazrat Ghawthul Adam is saying this. Allah knows best. According to his standard and status, the sins he felt, and he had servanthood, and mashallah, he was had humility and he was humble. And the Anbiya Salatu Wasalam, Summa Alayhi Salam, Subhanallah, they were great, great individuals, and they did these du'as like this. And I said, no, I've not sinned. I have prayed salah, I'm perfect, I haven't committed any errors, I've got tasbih, I'm a dhakir, no brothers. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not bring ourselves onto the heights. The person who deceives himself, there's no bigger deception than that. Straight along the line, be honest, have integrity, be sincere. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah, has presented to us a beautiful point, and look at the situation of the Sahaba at that time. Great examples. And the Sahaba were happy that we are now victorious. We can now oppose Shaitan and fight him. But Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, when they came back from one expedition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming, and the Sahaba said, we've come back victorious from the big clash, the big tussle. And Rasulullah SAW said, no, we are now going to the big clash. And the Sahaba said, what is that clash, O Prophet of Allah SAW? And Rasulullah SAW said that the fight with Shaitan is the biggest fight. That fight with Shaitan and the nafs. When a king, when he is victorious over land, then this is something we need to listen to. When a king, when he overtakes a piece of land or a country, then there are prisoners that come, isn't it? Prisoners and slaves and women, they are imprisoned, and slave women and slave men. And look at the history of man in the whole world, and it's happening even now. And after imprisoning people, then that prisoner, he is under the control of those who've taken over. They say what they want to him, they do what they want to him, they drag him from the chains and the ropes, they lock them up in empty dark cells, and they stop the food. And does history not bear testimony to this? That when the kings would fight against kings over the lands, and then the prisoners of war, and how they used to be tortured. Why? Because they've lost. And when that group loses, then they're under the arrest of the victorious army, isn't it? And then they are like hostages, or they are prisoners of war. So Allah Ta'ala says, you are human beings, you are fighting Shaitan. وَجَهَدُوا. And if you're victorious, and then you overcome Shaitan, you beat Shaitan, the devil. If you beat Shaitan, then Allah Ta'ala says, then I will open up the doors and the paths and the journeys for you to reach paradise. But if you lose to Shaitan, and what is losing? That until you die, he doesn't let you do tawbah. And you stay in deception. And without tawbah, you depart this world with the sins. Then Allah Ta'ala says that you will be the prisoner. You will be the prisoner. And you will be the prisoner of Shaitan. So if you depart from this world as one of the customers of Shaitan, you will depart this world as a prisoner. And those people who have left this world defeated, then their faces will be black and dark. And they will look like dogs. And like animals, their faces and their bodies will be shackled with the chains and surrounded with the chain. Not normal chains. Rather, there will be chains burning with the fire.
And there will be a seal placed on their mouth with the fire of Jahannam. And their libas, their attire, their food, their eating and drinking, everything will be fed and drank, given them to drink from the pus of Jahannam. Why? Because these are the prisoners of hell. And they've departed this world as a prisoner. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that this is a small clash we've just come back from, oh my companions, but the biggest tussle and clash is that we beat shaitan and his influences. And we say even in the last breaths, Allah, I seek your forgiveness, Allah forgive me. Allah ta'ala says, يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Subhanallah. This is how easy is tawbah. And we so easily listen to shaitan's words. We have no care. The Quran is giving us guidance. No problem, Allah Ta'ala says. But turn to me. What should we do? We should, even if we're in difficulty, as I said, shaitan, he has shackled us. Shaitan doesn't allow us to go towards tawbah. He doesn't want us to do tawbah. He will not let us feel or believe that we've committed a sin. And if a person does tawbah, he feels so light. A person comes from the high, when he sins, he drops from the highest level spiritually to the lowest level. The awliyaullah, they have ma'rifah. What shall I say to you? They are on such a high maqam that they do ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the walis of Allah. They do ziyarah, they speak, they meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do ziyarah, they're on such a high maqam. But Allah Ta'ala says, the shaitan makes the person drop from that high rank and status to the bottom of the ditch, to the dust on the face. And this is history. History has proven this. So when a person drops to the and stoops to the lowest level, and he drops from a high spiritual rank and level, Allah says, no issue, no problem, that I've given you the prescription. ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا. Allah says, well, after you've sinned and you've stooped to the lowest level and fallen to the ground and you accept that you committed a sin, Allah says, غَفُور, then the sins that you committed, Allah says, I will forgive all of them. Rahim, and that level that you dropped down from, all the struggle you made and the effort you made and the maqam I gave you, Allah says, whichever maqam you are on and the dhikr you were doing and the lataifs you were implementing, the lessons you were given before you dropped down, before you sin, and you are wali and you had the level of a wali and you committed a sin, Allah says, Tawwab Rahim, Allah says, then I will forgive your sins and I will give you back the level spiritually that you had before you stooped and you fell down from the high level. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Is tawbah not a ni'mah? Is it not a gift? And we shouldn't be scared of doing tawbah, my friends. If we haven't committed any sins, even then do tawbah. Even if you haven't sinned, you think, then still do tawbah. Still, you have to pull yourself together. Bring the sins, weigh them, measure them. What does shaitan do? He makes us hide the sins, forget the sins. He seals them in a box, throws them away. We need to take the boxes out, lift the lids off, take the lids off. Where's the sin? This sin I did. Which other sin did I do? And we have to look at so three types of sin. One is su. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا, where you've done evil to others. أَوْ يَظْلِمْ, or against yourself you've sinned. And where you think that you are free from the sin. So Allah Ta'ala says, from morning till evening, sit down in the night, select the sins. Oh, I said this against that person. Oh Allah, this sin, please forgive me for this sin. Where I spoke against another person or about others. 15, 20 minutes every day we should sit down and analyze. This is the biggest ibadah. That all of the ibadah we've done during the day, recitation of Quran, dhikr, salat, tasbihat, worship, all of the deeds we think, big worship actions, and they will be on hold. They will be on hold, floating, looking for acceptance. But Allah is waiting that when I ask for tawbah, repentance, forgiveness, and then when Allah forgives, then those deeds are accepted, and tawbah is definitely accepted. Why? Because shaitan doesn't want us to do tawbah. When a person does tawbah, it is accepted straight away, isn't it? Sins are accepted, aren't they? They are counted, and same way tawbah is accepted. So this should be our final part of our day, because you do tazkiyah, I do tazkiyah, and this is for me important, a beautiful new subject. I'm telling you the truth. I've not heard this from a sheikh. This is a new subject. And as I was in passing, the verse of the Quran came in front of me. I read it. I thought about it. And as I was coming, the whole subject unraveled in my mind. Alhamdulillah, this is a straightforward, I'm telling you, honest truth. And how beneficial it is for us that Allah Ta'ala is inspiring us today. We should be grateful millions of times over, isn't it? We should be so grateful, Allah, that how much karam and mercy of yours to me, that this verse, how many times of Surah Nisa, this verse in Surah Nisa, we've read thousands of times before. Thousands. How many times have we thought about this verse? Brothers, tell me. Reply. Have you ever delved into this verse? Pondered over it? Thought about it? Have you ever thought that what is وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا and يَظْلِمْ and نَفْسَهُ and yastaghfirullah, and who is our tussle with, our clash with, who is our enemy, the shaitan, the devil, how do we oppose him, how do we tackle him, how do we tackle him to the ground, how do we overcome him, how do we oppose him? So this is a beautiful point. And ibadah, worship is good. Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq. Excellent. Alongside that, in parallel, we need to analyze our sins and ask for Allah Ta'ala for tawbah before we sleep in the night. This is the hadith, a person. And so easily we take the hadith face value. When Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that in the night do tawbah, Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of rahmah and Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins. Astaghfirullah. And then we go to sleep. That's what we do. Isn't it? Is this tawbah? Astaghfirullah. 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 Is this tawbah? This is tawbah, as we've discussed today. Select, just like you select the beads on the beads, single individual beads. Allah Ta'ala says, same way, Allah, I did this sin. And if you feel that this is a sin within the Sharia boundary, we've heard this from the scholars, this is a sin, I did this sin and I didn't do this action, is a sin and I did this. There are two types of sins. One is an action that you didn't do, that you had to do, that's a sin. And one is an action you did, which is a sin if you did it. So these are the two opposing actions. So do maraqbah half an hour in the evening after doing this, then do tawbah for each and one of every of them, then go to sleep with ease. Allah, I'm grateful to you, I'm free, Allah, I've asked you for forgiveness. Allah says, no problem, I've forgiven you. And then that you were going down spiritual and shaitan was demonstrating his power and he was making you drop from the high level. Accept Allah, I've done this sin. Never do this, that you remember the sin. He said, no. This isn't a sin. Oh, I haven't got this. No, say it is there. I've got it. What will we lose? I'm accepting in front of my Rabb, my Lord, who is the master of the universe. So it's nothing. We won't lose out. And don't deceive yourself, brothers. So if you are now accepting that Allah have committed this sin, and Allah is accepting your request for forgiveness, then the next action, what should it be? Because this is the work of the human being, that when you are in a clash with somebody, then you don't allow shaitan to attack you again. Listen to this hadith, that this is not the quality of a mu'min, that he goes through the same crack second time. Is this not the hadith? The person should never go through the crack twice. Yeah, he doesn't go through the crack twice, through the loss. So a mu'min, after doing tawbah, he should never go back to that sin. Never go back to that sin. That he should never go into that crack. For example, I've done an action and I've experienced a loss and I've lost my level. Allah Ta'ala has given me life. I've done tawbah. I've got another chance. And Allah Ta'ala has taken me back to the same maqam, same level. This is not the quality of a mu'min that he repeats that sin again tomorrow. The question doesn't arise. You've done dua, done tawbah, end of story. If he commits another sin, fair enough. But that same sin he should not repeat, that he's asked for forgiveness today, and that sin has evaporated from his mind, his body, and that's when that person will get the gardens of Jannah. Small good pious deeds we've done, and they will get a massive, massive mansion and a palace. And they'll say, Allah, I didn't do anything. How did you give me this palace and mansion? But Allah said, no, you did this action, I liked it. But if you do sin and don't do tawbah, you can take the deeds to the mountain heights. Allah says, no, I can see the stain. First clean the stain of the sin, then come to me. And then that person will be burnt in hellfire for that stain, for that sin to be washed away. So let's do either tawbah here. And Allah has given us a light, beautiful light, and light and not even heavy weighty action. Allah says, you've got tawbah. There's nothing to lose. It's easy. It's just you and your Rabb. Me and my Rabb. Nobody knows I've done zina. Nobody knows I've done another bad action. Quietly, shaitan has made me commit the sin in the night or in the day. But the mu'min, he should never let the same mistake come and bite him. Yeah? That is not the mu'min, his quality. So lightning shouldn't strike twice on the mu'min. So beautiful ayah, if we do amal on this, and we practice on this, and we should do dua to Allah, that Allah give us the tawfiq to do ibadat, worship, but in parallel and important, every second, every minute, every day, and especially when we're about to sleep in the night, half an hour before we're sleeping, sit down and line up the sins, write them down, no problem, write them down, I did this sin, and be humble and accept that these sins will go on the scale, my scale of deeds, and then say, Allah, I do tawbah, I seek your forgiveness. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.